The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's Friday. He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby.
What
is it that we do, Jalen?
We give the people what they want.
We have a full weekend of NFL games to get you ready for. We have some very interesting news about your Detroit Pistons, but we start with last night's NFL game where Aaron Rodgers and the Packers just ran through a depleted 49ers team. What did you think of the offensive explosion from the guys from Wisconsin?
Outstanding. Obviously, the 49ers have been depleted by injury. But anytime you see Davante Adams catching 10 balls, over 150 yards, getting a touchdown, and at least three games in the season, the only other person that done that is Megatron. So, you know, I pay attention to things like that. People were talking about Aaron Rodgers' weapons or lack thereof. Haven't I been somebody consistently, Jacoby, that's like, wait a minute. Rodgers is top tier. Adams is top tier. And you see what he said after the game yesterday. You're like, wait a minute. I'm actually the best receiver in the game. And I told you that Aaron Jones was top tier. He was back as well. So the Packers, their offensive triplets are not their issue. Their defense in particular, stopping the run, has been their issue.
Absolutely. Now, Davante Adams was asked if he was the best player in the game. He said he's not conceded, and he is. And I was like, huh, is he? And I started looking at some of the numbers. He has more TDs than anybody else in the league. Okay. 675 yards, fifth in the league. Sixth in the league in receptions. And then I was like, oh, wait a second. He's only played in six games, and everyone else who's above him has played in seven or eight games. So by the numbers, he might not be wrong. However, there is someone that plays in Arizona that you and I like a little bit more than Davante Adams, and we will get to him later. He's got a big game this weekend, but we start with the biggest game of the weekend, and that is a matchup that we saw in week one where the Saints beat the Bucs. This is the rematch. What do you expect to see from this Saints offense?
Kamara and more Kamara. Out of the backfield rushing, out of the backfield catching, lining up at receiver, lining up in the slot. This guy is so very graceful, Jacoby. Gives old school football fans shades of Gale Sayers. When it looks like everybody else is just running really fast, he just looks smooth and effortless. Alvin Kamara is going to have to be that consistent threat for Drew Brees because Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders have both been in and out of the lineup, and we don't know if they're going to even play in this game.
It seems like every time Kamara touches the ball, he goes for 8 yards, whether he's catching it, whether he's running it, and he always seems to get in the corner and get first downs constantly. However, the Bucs have the antidote for Alvin Kamara, and that is the best linebacking duo in the league, David and White. Also two words that you would use to describe me, David Jacoby. However, this team has the second most sacks in the league too. And White and David are so fast that I think they're going to give Kamara trouble turning the corner. I think without Thomas and Sanders, as you mentioned, they're leaning on Kamara so much. It seems like he touches the ball like two out of every three plays that the Saints run. I really think that this Bucs defense is going to be the reason that they beat the Saints this weekend, not all the weapons that they have on offense. And of course, I feel obligated to ask, this is obviously the debut of Antonio Brown, another weapon for Tom Brady. What do you expect from him? How many snaps? How many targets? What do you think will happen with Antonio Brown and the Bucs?
For him, it's great to just be back in the league. He's had a tumultuous last couple of years in and out of the game. And a lot of times, as he alluded to, you don't truly miss the game until it's actually taken away from you. And I give Tom Brady a lot of credit for him getting this opportunity. And I believe that he understands if he screws this opportunity up, there won't be any more opportunities. So don't be surprised if Tom Brady looks to try to get him involved. He's going to try to get Gronk involved, of course, and now they found their old school magic. Remember when he played one game with AB against the Dolphins, I believe. He actually scored a touchdown. So don't be surprised if the Bucs try to get AB and pay dirt.
Well, that would be significant for another reason as well, because Tom Brady and Drew Brees keep going back and forth on the all-time TD list. How cognizant do you think that these two are when they play about that all-time TD title?
You know I'm huge on not beefing down. What Tom Brady has been able to do, Jacoby, is because of his excellence in his six championships, other all-time greats like Peyton Manning had to initially take as many stats and touchdown passes as they can get. And then all of a sudden, Manning won him two Super Bowls and validated. Drew Brees, the exact same thing, getting all of the stats, putting all of the numbers, getting all the touchdown passes, and then he got a Super Bowl. Now they're both past 40 and they're still in the league. So while it's gonna mean something to us to cover, trust me, it's gonna mean a lot more to Drew Brees than Tom Brady, who has more touchdowns passing when they both retire.
That's a good point. Now, both of these quarterbacks have been or are MVP level performers, but this year's front runner for the MVP at the midway point is pretty clearly Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson and his Seahawks go on the road to Buffalo. What do you expect to see from Seahawks on the road in Buffalo?
Look at that deep ball, Jacoby. That reminds me of how I used to want it to look like on Madden. You can't hand it to a player more efficient than that. You see how Russell, look at the flick of the wrist. Look at the flick of the wrist. Nobody's doing it better currently in the game. And you see Lockett the Rocket getting out there deep in Metcalf. What's going to happen with your die easy Bills at home, Jacoby? Are they going to be able to stop Russell from throwing deep?
Hold on. Jalen, no one can stop Russell from throwing deep, but here's why the Buffalo Bills are going to beat the Seahawks this weekend. The Seahawks are great on offense. They've got all those weapons. The Seahawks give up 358 yards a game in the air. Again, 358. That is not just worse in the league. That is worse in the league by 46 yards a game. They cannot stop teams from throwing the ball on them. And Josh Allen has himself a new toy this year. That is Stephon Diggs. The Allen to Diggs connection, you will see, is going to score a couple touchdowns. I'm talking like 150 yards for Diggs. This is going to be another one of those Seahawks games that goes down to the wire. Something weird happens at the end, but it's going to be their inability to stop other teams through the air, which plagued the Seahawks all year long, is going to hurt them in this one, which is why I have Buffalo with the upset. And it's not just through the air, Jalen Rose. Buffalo, last couple games, have been doing it on the ground. Not the biggest names, they're rushing the ball in the NFL, but Singletary and Moss have been pretty productive as a tandem. 126 yards a couple weeks ago, 190 yards last week. I have Buffalo as an upset in this one, and you look like you disagree, Mr. Rose.
I know David Jacoby very well, friends and brothers from another for over a decade. I know what you're doing right now.
What's that?
I know what you're doing. I've gambled with you. You're putting all of your chips in the middle of the table for your die easy Bills. You talked about how great the defense is. You talked about how great Josh Allen is. You talked about how great Diggs is. We're the only show to ever talk about Singletary and Moss, and their run game is so underrated in the league. Because if they lose after you pick them, they're gonna really let you down.
Oh, I'm off.
And I think if they let you down, you're gonna jump off of the bandwagon.
Another bandwagon.
I think this topic is all about you.
Way off it. Of course. I see the Bills winning at home. And remember where you heard it first, Jalen and Jacoby. Next up, we have, this is ESPN that you're watching, as Jalen and Jacoby, but from time to time, we turn into the Cardinals News Network. That is because early in the season, we decided that we were going to support this Cardinals team because Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, they play against the Dolphins. What do you see in this one from Murray on the ground and Hopkins receiving?
I think in an election year, I need to sign a petition. If the Cardinals make the playoffs and win a game, you need to get an image of Cliff Kingsbury during the draft behind you on your wall. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's great architecture.
Kyler
I love
Murray,
this home.
Jacoby. That's what I see. I see Kyler Murray throwing to D-Hop. And you know what I think? Let me tell you what I think. He was watching Adams last night, and he heard my stat. He heard catch 10 balls, get 150 yards, score a TD. That's what D-Hop is going to do this weekend.
He saw Adams. I have DeAndre Hopkins as the best receiver in the league. However, Jalen, you know how I like jump from bandwagon to bandwagon, and we're on the Cardinals bandwagon right now? Don't tell DeAndre Hopkins.
No.
I think they lose this game. It's the Dolphins' defense. The Dolphins give up 18.6 points a game. That is the lowest in the entire league. You saw last week what they did to the Rams, and they score points too. And everyone points to Tua and how poorly he performed it. 90-something yards, only 12 completed balls or whatever. Tua put together one of the best college careers we've ever seen from a quarterback. I believe in Tua's abilities. I think he can't be bad 2 weeks in a row, and I think it's that Dolphins defense which is going to stifle the Cardinals offense. But this is going to be the one that I'm going to have my eye on in the late games. You know what I might do? I might turn Red Zone off and just turn this one on. I might just exclusively hone in on this one because I'm so excited for this one, and I really want Kyler Murray to lose this one. But don't tell D-Hop, okay, Jay? I know he's in your phone. Don't tell him. I'll jump right back on the bandwagon after they win. One game that I do not think will be very competitive, but will be interesting, is what are the Cowboys going to do against the Steelers and that defense at the quarterback position? They don't even know who they're going to start at this point. They don't know if they're going to start Garrett Gilbert or Cooper Rush. They're splitting snaps. They said, we're going to figure it out by Saturday. Jalen, what is happening?
Thank you for this visual. Thank you, Demetrius, our producer. Is that Mike Tomlin?
Yes.
So let me just introduce everybody that knows anything about the NFL. Put Mike Tomlin back up there. That gentleman is the best bargain in the NFL. They're going against the Dallas Cowboys. And for so many years, we've talked about their lack of an identity, their lack of direction, their lack of leadership. Let me see. These are all of the things that Mike Tomlin gives the Pittsburgh Steelers. They don't have a $100 million wide receiver. They don't have a top flight, highest paid running back in the NFL. They don't have one of the highest paid defensive linemen in the NFL. But you know what they have? Mike Tomlin. And if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, an organization that's only had three coaches in over 60 plus years, the model of having an identity and consistency, when I see Matt Rhule sign this deal with Carolina, I bring Mike Tomlin in the office. And I say, let me tell you something. Here's a check. Wherever they give Matt Rhule, we're gonna do the Stephon Marbury and the KG. Either I want a dollar more or a dollar less. That's what we're gonna do for Mike Tomlin.
Well, I think that Mike McCarthy is preparing both quarterbacks because he knows he's going to need them both against this defense that has 30 sacks and 10 picks just halfway through the year. We are just halfway through the show. We've got so much more to prepare you for, including when the NBA is going to come back and what is happening with the Ravens. That and much more. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it is now time for the segment where you decide what we discuss. It is Keep It Moving.
Woo! Leave it moving. Keep it moving.
If you want to discuss the topic, say hit the brakes. If not, we will keep it moving. And we start with an official announcement that the NBA season will start this year, 2020, December 22nd. Jalen, a 72-game season starts 3 days before Christmas. There will be games on Christmas. What does that mean to you?
This just warms my heart. Congratulations to the NBA for completing a season, getting us to a champion. Also, now preparing to start a new season. It's amazing work and organization of the league and the players working together to get this done.
Absolutely. Look forward to that and look forward to inviting you into my home via my television on Christmas, just like I do every year. Moving on to the Ravens and Colts, huge matchup in the AFC. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
Jalen, did some research. While the Ravens have more rushing yards than any other team in the league, they have the least amount of passing yards in the NFL. That's right. The former MVP has thrown for less passing yards than any other team in the league. What can they do to get right?
You already know since Louisville, there will be zero Lamar slander on my watch. But I want to ask Hollywood Brown a question. I wonder if he's watched Paid in Full more times than me. Because he asked the question, what's the use to having soldiers if you don't use them? Lamar's going to get him involved this weekend.
Absolutely. It seems like Andrews gets triple teamed on every single snap. So he should be open. He should get some one-on-one isolations. I think that Hollywood Brown will get the ball. Even Lamar himself said that he needs to do so. And I think he will against the Colts, and the Ravens will roll. We will roll around to the next matchup, the Panthers against the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
You know what? Hit the brakes.
Okay, we'll hit the brakes on this one. Christian McCaffrey is trending like he will be available. Do you think that could swing a difference for an upset for the Carolina Panthers and Teddy Bridgewater?
Let me tell you the difference it's going to make. Jacoby, you know I love analyzing reality, but I'm much more excited about fantasy. Oh, man, Christian McCaffrey's coming back. Do you realize how many people around the world are enthusiastic that the number one overall fantasy player is returning? He about to change. Some money about to change hands now that he back.
Now that he has returned, he might win some fantasy games, but they will not win this actual football game. The Panthers' opposing quarterbacks are completing 69% of their passes against the Panthers. This looks to me like another one of those 5 TD days for Patrick Mahomes like he had last week against the Jets. Moving on, we have the Bears against the Titans. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
You know what? I need to see big numbers from King Henry. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving.
We have the suddenly hot Vikings against your trash Lions. Keep it moving or hit the brakes. I'll keep it moving for you. Let's keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
Oh no, from one of your teams to another. The Michigan Wolverines football team, fresh off a loss, now faces a higher-ranked Indiana. Keep moving or hit the brakes. You know what? I want to hit the brakes on this one, Jalen. I want to hit the brakes on this one. You guys just beat Minnesota. We're looking pretty good. Didn't just lose, but lost handily to Michigan State, and now you face an Indiana football team that could beat you. How long has it been since that happened?
Tommy, our director, loves Indiana and the Hoosiers where he went to school. And Isaiah Lord Thomas is like an idol. But we own Indiana. This right now, they're ranked higher than us, Jacoby. Look at that ranking. They're ranked 13th. I believe this is the only time ever that they've been ranked higher than Michigan. I bet this is the only time ever. We take care of business this weekend.
Oh, you're predicting a Wolverine win in this one. You know, I'm surprised that you guys are even ranked after watching you against Michigan State. I've got Indiana. I'm riding with our director, Tommy, on this one. Moving on to another huge college football game. This one is between Clemson and Notre Dame. However, Trevor Lawrence is not available.
Keep
moving or hit the brakes. We'll hit the brakes on this. We will see what DJ Uiagalelei can do under center for the Clemson Tigers. Yes, I practiced for hours to say DJ Uiagalelei right. Jalen, do you think that Clemson can pull off the win even without Trevor Lawrence under center?
This is one of those everything to lose sporting events. If you're Notre Dame and you win, people are going to say you did it without Lawrence. If you're Notre Dame and you lose, people are going to say you overrated. So for me, this football game is more about them because this is why they joined the ACC for 1 year, to go head up with Clemson. So whether the season was 5 games, 7 games, 10 games, if they were to perform well against this squad, it catapults them into the playoff. I'm going to go with the Golden Domers.
Interesting. Well, I think that we will see this exact matchup again later in the season in the ACC Championship. Notre Dame will play in it because they are now officially in that conference for this season. It is now time for some very important news that matters. Jalen, While we are dealing with climate issues here on the planet Earth, I would like to tell you about another planet with a different type of climate. That, of course, is K2141b. It is a planet some solar systems away where the oceans are lava and it rains rocks. Jalen, it rains rocks, they have supersonic winds, and the oceans are lava. Will you be buying any real estate on K2141b anytime soon?
You know what that reminds me of? Hear that description again. And as you give that description and I hear that music in the back, just tell me, what'd you say about the lava? What did you say about the rocks?
The oceans are lava, it rains rocks, and there are supersonic winds.
That reminds me of the time when I was 15 and was at my first adult entertainment establishment.
Go to break before we get canceled. Go to break.
It was rain.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, our favorite draft prospect, rumored to potentially go to your favorite team, and the Detroit Pistons might trade up for LaMelo Ball. How do you think this could happen?
He will be a magnet for the city of Detroit and for that basketball team. He has high intellect, great basketball character, can score the ball. He's going to make people around him better. And he's a young veteran. Would love to have him as a member of the Pistons.
We'll be back on Monday on ESPN2 at 2 p.m. Have a safe weekend. Jalen, a couple things I want to discuss with you. Because on the television show, we only have so much time to really discuss things. There was something that came up in between segments that we just really need to unpack. That is just some of the decisions that your Detroit Lions have made. Because I don't follow the Lions as closely as you. I don't watch every down like you do. You know, I don't know the salary cap issues or what they have going on. But I do know that they traded Darius Slay. Then they drafted Okuda, who hasn't exactly tore up the league in the first half of the season. And they could have had Tua. Could have had Herbert. I don't know if you see what Herbert's doing. I don't know if you've seen that, but looks like he's going to be in the Chargers uniform for a decade. Jalen, at what point are you going to end this emotionally abusive relationship with your Lions?
So it's all about the lack of an identity more than anything. And usually that starts with ownership. But when you make a hire at GM, someone that was really credible working with the Patriots organization, you knew at some point that he was going to pluck away one of the coaches from their team. And when you have the success that the Patriots have had over the last 20 years, you're going to have the offspring of a lot of those coaches getting jobs. Mm-hmm. However, it's going to be a mixed bag of results. For the Detroit Lions, it's represented mediocrity at best, but a lot of losing, in particular, without Matthew Stafford, because of a lack of identity. A defensive coordinator is your head coach, which means if you're going to take the job with the team, you probably want to keep a guy that just made first team all-pro defense in Darius Slay. Like, I'm sitting in the office saying, if I take this job, I'm a defensive coordinator. I want the first team all-pro corner on my team. Okay. So now that I have him, are we want to, you know how the Kansas City Chiefs or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they now double and triple down and say, we're going to now add more weapons. When the Ravens can run the ball, we're going to still add J.K. Dobbins. We're going to add more weapons. So now as defensive coordinator, you can say, okay, let's keep Slay. And if we really believe in Okuda, like to take him as a top three or four pick, then now we should have the best lockdown duo going in the game. But we don't do that.
Nope.
Because we don't have an identity. So what do we do? We draft a running back as well. And I like Swift. I have him on my fantasy team. He continues to improve each week. But here's the problem. You know we just drafted Kerryon Johnson a couple of seasons ago. So let me get this right. Within a handful of years, we draft Kerryon Johnson and Swift, but the oldest running back in the NFL is getting more carries than both of them in Adrian Peterson.
Yo, Adrian Peterson makes Frank Gore look fresh. Adrian Peterson makes Frank Gore look like he's the prime of his career.
And so now, when you have no true assets to turn around your situation, you have to look from within to make change. Our shining star, the greatest quarterback in modern day Lions history, is currently on the team. His name is Matthew Stafford. I'm grateful for everything he's done for the team. And he's still a top 10 quarterback. But you know what else happens when you have a top 10 quarterback? Oh, he a top 10 quarterback.
He ain't top 10.
But you know what else happens? You know what happens when you have that top tier quarterback? You got to pay him as such. You got to pay him as such. So now all of a sudden, you're paying him top dollar for a team that we know ain't about to win a playoff game this year.
You got to play a playoff game to win one. Y'all ain't going to the playoffs. You're playing the Vikings. You're playing the Vikings this weekend. I would honestly, even though they have a worse record, I think the Vikings' chances of making the playoffs are better than the Lions. That's fair to say, right? I mean, you saw what they did last week with the Packers, division win. I mean, the Vikings have 2 wins. Wait, week 9? They got 2 wins. And I think they have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Lions, who have 3 wins.
And so you have Matthew Stafford. Look around the NFL. Most of the teams we discuss for national consumption, Matthew Stafford is better than their current quarterback.
It's not true, Jalen.
I'm looking at you. Huh?
That's not true. He's not a top 10 quarterback. He's not. I mean, don't make me sit here and name 10 quarterbacks.
Let's sort this out.
Oh, no.
Let's sort this out.
Okay, first of all, we have a long history.
We're giving smart, intelligent commentary.
We have a long history of every time we make a list, we leave people out. So every time we make a list, I have to point that out. So if you're on a jog or you're driving in your car and we forget a quarterback, then just let us live, okay? Just let us live.
I got to say this about Dyee Jacoby. Soon as we start doing the list, you're going to be like people like Herbert and Burrow are better than him.
Burrow is much better than Matt Stafford. The Burrow guy, he's got like the third most yards in the league. And he gets to 300 yards every week. And he doesn't. First of all, okay. Mahomes, Lamar, Rodgers, Murray. I got to start using my computer for this, man. Why you make me do lists? I hate doing lists. Mahomes, Lamar, Murray. I'm just going to put Burrow up there because he's on there. Jackson. Well, the teams we got.
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. I'm gonna tell you who you said. Take a deep breath. I actually wrote them down. You said Mahomes. You said Jackson. You said Aaron Rodgers. You said Murray. I'll give you Tom Brady. So now that's 1, 2, 3. That's 5.
Burrow. I'm definitely taking him. Definitely taking Burrow over Stafford. Murray. I'm taking Murray over Stafford. Murray can run. Oh, there's a gentleman by the name of Russell Wilson.
I'll also give you Russell Wilson.
Gentleman by the name of Russell Wilson. Yep. So now we're up to 8. And now you get down to that Dak Prescott hurt, but I'll take him. And then
He's not currently playing.
Well, guess who else ain't currently playing? Yep, Matt Stafford. Okay. Guess who else ain't currently playing? Matt Stafford. I'm forgetting
Drew
somebody,
Brees?
But I'll take Breeze. There you go. That's 10. That's 10. And I'll take Herbert. I'll take Herbert and Josh Allen. There's 12 right there. He's not top 10 anymore. Why you make us do this exercise? Why you make us talk about the Lions for 7 minutes on the pod? I just asked a simple question. Lions, please.
The Lions have supporters, and all I know is the rest of the world need to be loving Detroit and Michigan right now. So
they do.
You see me repping my Pistons gear.
Appreciate you.
Go out and buy your Wolverine gear. Y'all need when I say Detroit versus everybody and what up though and I boss up, y'all need to be like, you know what? I'm going to visit Detroit. I need good. All I'm going to say is, if you love Detroit and you're appreciative of the role Detroit plays in our country, when you get a chance, in particular post-COVID, don't bring it there. Sorry, we don't want you right now. Post-COVID, bring your tourist dollars.
Okay. Jalen, so I want to talk about my lifelong love of the Buffalo Bills and how I'm a huge Bills fan, because it is uncanny. Because let's talk about Pete Carroll.
Lifelong, wasn't that 5 weeks?
Lifelong. Oh, yeah, lifelong. This might have been about 10 weeks. Jalen,
they played the Seahawks. 10 games.
I know, because I picked them up in the preseason. Come on. And I'll be off them if they lose the Seahawks. But, you know, I did a little research. The Seahawks give up so many passing yards a game. 46 more than the second. 46 more. And if you think about the Legion of Boom and Pete Carroll, like, I always just assume that, like, I associate the Seahawks with good secondary play. I just do. But that's not there anymore. That's not happening anymore. They don't even have, like, a pass rush. And you, what I associate the Seahawks with now is last second Russell Wilson drives. And now I understand why they're always needing a last second Russell Wilson drive, because they're losing to teams like the Cardinals.
I didn't get a chance to tell you this on the show.
Oh, go ahead.
But just so you know, their best person in the secondary is returning this weekend. Jamal Adams.
Yep.
Jamal Adams is returning. So that's going to have an effect on those pass yards for sure.
They need him. Jamal Adams is like literally my favorite defensive player in the NFL. I mean, people didn't see him because he was in the Jets, so people didn't talk about him or see what he did. But like, if you watch Jets games, like, he stops runs, he plays coverage, he spies quarterbacks, he blitzes, he does everything. He's what you call a Swiss Army knife. He's great, and they're gonna need him. They really, really need him. Because we talk about the Seahawks as legitimate Super Bowl contenders, but you can't give up more passing yards than any other team and be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Jalen, nothing I want to talk to you about. Cowboys quarterback situation. So if you are Garrett Gilbert or Cooper Rush, and you don't know who's going to start, here's what I think. I think in your heart of hearts, you don't want that start. Your heart of hearts, you don't want that start. It's like a six in one hand, half dozen in the other. It's like, hey, guess what? I won the starting job. I'm starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. You can never take that away from me. Once I get one snap under center, I was started a game for the Dallas Cowboys. You can never take that away from me. However, if you don't get the start, that clipboard is pretty comfortable too. Because they're both going to play. Remember where you heard? They're both going to play. Either because of poor performance or because of getting beat up by the Steelers. They're both going to play. That's why Mark McCarthy, like, he didn't pick one as the starter. Yes. He's like, we need to split time between two of these, because we're going to either take one out for poor performance or once they get taken out by Dupree and Watt. Because that Steelers defense is no joke. Minka Fitzpatrick, he's like, I'm going to get two picks this week. He's getting two picks this week. Minka's getting two picks. It's happening. He's getting two. For real. Now, Jalen, I want to get some more of your thoughts about the start of the NBA season. 72-game season starting December 22nd. So if you do the math, it's starting 2 months later, a little bit shorter. Do you think it still ends in, like, July, August? Or do you think they're going to, like, sort of truncate it?
No, I think it'd be truncated. 72 games. You want to end it at the end of August.
It's going
to
be, like,
you continue to take back.
It'll be before August, I think. It'll be, like, end of July, start of August.
Correct. Great correction, D. That's the major factor in
the Olympics,
trying to get the deal done, because the NBA has so many international players and American-born players that want to play in the Olympics.
So
but the thing I want to see happen, Jacoby, that's going to be interesting, is how are they going to get LeBron to play on the 22nd and the 25th And then how they're going to juggle the Lakers schedule for him not playing again to either Martin Luther King or Jalen Rose's birthday.
Oh, no, he ain't playing. He's going to play at Christmas like an exhibition. And then he's going to go on vacation. You're going to follow him on Instagram? He's going to be on a yacht somewhere in the Caribbean while the Lakers are playing, starting Jared Dudley in his spot.
Correct.
Like that's what you're going to see.
Correct.
He's going to be like, go Lakers game day from the yacht while he's sipping on a smoothie.
Correct.
As he should.
And well, while we're talking about the NBA, I must say this. Never underestimate the power of your public figures. I saw what happened in Wisconsin. Don't think the Milwaukee Bucks and their players making phone calls didn't have an influence on that election. I see what's happening in Georgia in that Senate race. Don't think the WNBA players and their stance didn't have an effect on that race. NBA players demanding that NBA owners open the arenas to make them polling sites. Don't underestimate the effect that that had on this election. So I want to thank all athletes and leagues that participated. That's why there was more voter turnout than the last couple of decades.
That's a really good point, Jalen Rose. And we always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is listening to the people. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail and we will put it on the show just like this.
Yo, yo, what up, though? It's Cole from Pittsburgh. Shout out, Reg. I got some relationship advice I need from y'all. So me and my girl, we've been in an argument, like an ongoing argument, about the future. I'm 20 years old. She's 20 years old. And she wants me to, like, be sure that I want to, like, spend a significant amount of my future with her. Like, the rest, like, I don't know if she wants the rest of my life or what. But she wants me to commit to, like, saying, yeah, after college, you know, after grad school, whatever, like, you know, we're going to be in this. And I'm of the mindset.
Please make sure to make the edit.
Yo, 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 it's the Madman from Tennessee. Hey, so I was riding, listening to the pod, and so I thought about the biggest, well, I don't know if it's the biggest, but a soft move, a boss move. And actually, Jacoby, you already answered the question for me, but I'll still pose the question. Eating the fruit that is given to you on a drink. For example, like putting the lemon in the water, or like Jacoby said in that ad, putting that orange into the beer. That is like the nastiest thing you can ever do. They don't wash the fruit in the back of the restaurant. Think about how many hands have been on it. Somebody dropped it on the ground. It rolled underneath the table. Somebody used their foot to get that lemon back or that orange back. It's just so nasty, man. So I guess we still pose the question. Soft move, boss move, eating the nasty fruit that comes with your drink. Appreciate what y'all do. Keep getting them checks. Keep giving them people what they want. Peace.
First of all, big shout out to Madman from Tennessee. Leading the witness with the question. So I'm going to leave the nasty part out, but Jalen, soft move or boss move, eating the fruit that is garnished on an adult beverage.
I'm trying to think of different circumstances. So
like, let me take you somewhere.
I like the honey beers.
Let me take you somewhere. You ordered a rum punch, because I know you like sweet drinks. You ordered a rum punch, and it came with a toothpick with like a little triangle of a pineapple on it. So it's a garnish on there. Do you eat the pineapple? Do you put it in the drink?
90% of the time, I do not drink it, but I do put it in the drink. I do not eat it, but I do put it in the drink.
I
now that I think about it, once I finish the drink, if it's my final drink, I guess I do eat it. So, yeah, I do eat it.
I have a story
now
to tell.
Think about it.
From time to time, me and Jalen Rose, pre-COVID, we used to go to bars. and talk about sports in the show, you know, and just kind of catch up and be friends and unwind after a show. And one time, Jalen's 6'9 or whatever, listed at 6'9, really like 6'7.5. And he got some long fingers, long arms. And we're at the bar. And you know, there's at the bar, there's this little garnish trays, like right there. Jalen reaches over the garnish tray, lifts up the lid, mind you, and then digs those dirty long fingers into like a big bunch of raspberries and just starts eating them. Bartender comes over, lovely young lady. She's like, what are you doing? She's like, what are you doing? She's like, it's a health code violation. I'm supposed to throw all that fruit out now. She straight up scolded you. You felt bad. I'm sure you probably gave her like $1,000 or something because that's how you fix things. You remember this?
That did happen. That did happen. I was hungry that day. I was hungry that day.
Food, dog. Order some food. Order some food. It's like a fancy place, too. They're like black raspberries. It was just your fingers were all up in them. You had like 8 black raspberries just chomping on them.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a different way to look at this. My mother was a key puncher at Chrysler over 25 years. But her part-time job, she also bartended at the Shea Bowl Lounge in Detroit. So when I was young, being the youngest in the family, I used to be the one that clearly cried when my mother left in the afternoon and the evening. And at some point, I started begging her to let me go to work with her. And then so she was taking me to work with her when I was a youngster. And immediately in that atmosphere, I learned quick how to hustle. So I became, in my own way, like her little assistant. That's why I learned how to take care of people and to get tips so very young. So I just paid attention to the game. I'm like, okay, the people that come up to the bar that know how to say please and thank you and know how to tip, they get more service and more attention. The people that was there last week, that had bad attitudes and complained about their drinks and complained about everything, like they gotta wait. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I was the guy that the people that were unhappy, I found ways to get them their little stuff. Mm. Like, oh, you need quarters for the pinball machine? I got you. You know what I'm saying? That's how I get my little tip. You know, you want me to go over to the cigarette machine and put 75 cents in there and get you a pack of squares? I got you. And then before you know it, they start trusting me. Start cleaning off the cars in the winter, Jacoby. So when they finish, they get their check. I'll start wiping out the car, go warm up the car. I wasn't even old enough to drive. Just warm up the car, wipe the car down, so when they get in, the air on. And before you know it, I was going to the crib. And I had a bankroll, too.
Look at you.
And don't tell me I wasn't going to be in there for years and not eat the fruit. I was crushing them cherries. Crushing them. Crushing them. Eating the oranges, eating the lemons. That was dinner sometime, dog. I was crushing that food. No doubt about it. So it's a boss move.
Boss move. Reg, you got Kill the Music. As some of you that pay attention to the news know that it's been difficult here at ESPN and around the world. It's been a very difficult summer for everybody. And we just want to recognize that while it is the two of us that you listen to on the podcast or you see on the TV screen, we stand in front of an army of thousands of people that make all this happen at ESPN, hundreds of which just recently got the news that they're no longer going to be employed by ESPN. And some of those people have put their fingerprints and spent endless hours working on this very program. And it is every single person that was our colleague that will no longer be our colleague shortly that we just want to extend our thoughts and prayers and sympathies for and let them all know that they are deeply, deeply appreciated.
I hate this. And it's one of the toughest parts of being in this industry during a climate to where COVID-19 in a lot of ways has put our circumstances in dire straits, Jacoby. So many fatalities, so many people unemployed and furloughed and laid off and fired and losing their jobs, so many companies going bankrupt, and it always hits closer to home when it actually happens in your house. And when you see 300 of your colleagues being laid off, you start to look at the calendar and be like, Thanksgiving's coming up, Christmas is coming up, it's about to start getting cold outside. We know that families and youngsters are remote learning, and there's never a good time. And so we just want, in our own way, to send our love and our support to each of them, to each of their families, and hope that they find ways to continue to endure during this really tough climate. And it's just really sad that, you know, when you look down at your phone and you see those kind of emails, Jacoby, it just really sad.
Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. We'll be back on Monday.